Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Sanhedrin Daf Ayin Gimel. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a marked daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. At the top of Daf Ayin Gimel in Maseches Sanhedrin, we notice a Mishnah. The Mishnah deals with those kinds of people or those kinds of offenses that it would be mutter, it would be allowed to kill them before they come to do it. V'elu hein shematzilin oison benafshon. And these are those that it's permitted to save them from committing the following averus through taking their own lives. Horoidef achar chavero lehorgo. If one notices someone pursuing someone else in order to kill them, so you are entitled to kill the pursuer. V'achar hazochor. And one who notices a man attempting to have homosexual relations with another man, v'achar hanar hamoroso, and if one sees a man trying to have relations, intimacy with a nar hamoroso, often translated as a betrothed maiden. This is, of course, a reference to a woman who received money from a man in order to be married. She gains a marital status that way. She hasn't yet consummated her marriage through Nisuin, but for all intents and purposes, she is considered an Ashes Ish, a married woman, and hence another man who tries to have relations with her is in violation of a very severe capital offense. Avol, Horeidef Achar Behemo, one who, however, is seen pursuing an animal to conduct intimacy with the animal, v'machalal es haShabbos v'oved avodis kochavim, or if one sees someone attempting to violate Shabbos or serve idols, ein matzilin oison benafsham, they are not allowed to be killed in order to save them or prevent them from committing those offenses. As we approach the Gemara, we notice some diamonds, a series indicator with numbers accompanying them in the space to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. As you scan down the page, the Omid of Gemara between in the space between the Gemara and the Rashi, you'll notice numbers 1 through 3. Our topic heading and structural note in the margin indicates the following: Nosei Mivneh, and we also indicate that this topic goes till Daf Ayin Dalid. Minayin Shenitan Lahatziloi Benafsho. From where do we know that it is possible, or one is allowed, or even expected to prevent certain people from violating specific offenses by killing them beforehand? The diamonds are featured near Sioinis attempts Limtso Mokor, to find a source, Beroidev Achar Chavero Lahargo, concerning the scenario where one is seen pursuing someone else in order to kill them. Tanu Rabbanan, the Tanaic source that follows, is in a frame. As you are already familiar, in our marking system, we frame off all Tanaic sources. Minayin l'roideth achar chaveru l'horgo. From where does one know that if one sees someone pursuing someone else in order to kill them, shenitan l'hatsi lo'i benafsho, that it's possible to save them by taking the life of the pursuer. Talmud lomar lo'i samoid al dam reacha. The pasuk says, don't stand by while the life of one's friend is being jeopardized. Rather, take action and save him. The Gemara asks, is this pasuk really the source for our halacha? V'ha l'hochi hu da'asa. The Gemara embarks now on a long question, as you can see by the length indicator of this question, kuf, kushia, and the vertical dashed line that follows this in the space between the Gemara and the Tosfos. This is a long question. So the Gemara asks, is this pasuk really coming for this purpose? Hi, mi boy ale lechadetanyo. I need this for something else, for another teaching, as is found in this Tanaic source. Minayin leroes chavero, shehu tovea benohar. From where do we know that if you see your friend whose life is in danger, that one is expected to save him? For example, one sees his friend drowning in a river, oi chayo goroso, or a wild animal is dragging him away, oi listin boyin olov, or bandits are attempting to rob him and threaten his life. Shehu, the one who sees this, chayav latzilo, is obligated to save the victim. Tamad lomar lo yisamoid al dam re'echo. The same pasuk as was cited above is now cited here. Therefore, is it not so that the pasuk of lo samod al dam re'echo is used to tell me about saving a person when his life is in danger by virtue of other threatening means, so save the victim? We cannot use this pasuk, therefore, as license for killing the pursuer. The Gemara says, in hochinami, in truth, the pasuk of lo samod is used for what is contained in the second source. The Gemara therefore asks, vela nitan latzilo benafsho. Notice we have a phrase marking, singular quotation marks around these three words, indicating to read them together. So from where do you know that nitan latzilo benafsho is allowed? Minolon, from where do we see that? So we come up with now the second approach. Asya b'kal v'chomer mina amorosa. We're going to derive through kal v'chomer logic the our halacha from the case of na'ah hamorosa as follows. Ma na'ah hamorosa shelo bo elo lefoigmo. Mind you, the case of na'ah hamorosa, where the pursuer in that case, he's attempting to ruin her, not murder her, not kill her, but lefoigmo, to disparage her through the act of intimacy. And even so, Omro Torah Nitan Lahatzilo Benafsho, the Torah gives license for killing the pursuer in that case. Roidev Acher Chaver Lohorgo Alachas Kama V'Kama, where someone is pursuing someone else in order to eliminate them, in order to murder them, then all the more so would I be allowed to stop the pursuer through his life. The Gemara asks, V'chi Oinshin Min Adin? The expression min hadin is a reference to kal v'chomer logic. Do we carry out punishments or derive punishments or establish the existence of punishments through kal v'chomer logic? The answer to that is no, we don't use kal v'chomer logic for concluding punishments. Therefore, we have to find, we cannot use na'ara murasa as the basis of roidev achar chavero. Therefore, we try attempt number three. Debei Rebbe Tona, in the yeshiva of Rebbe, they teach the following. Hekeshahu. There is a comparison or proximity of through hekesh, through two expressions that are in proximity to one another. The Torah attempts to instruct us that these are to be compared. And in fact, the two topics are the topic of na'ah hamorosa and the topic of murder. They are placed together in the Torah. So once again, not through kal v'chomer logic, but through hekesh, through comparison, are we going to come to this conclusion. And this is contained in the following source. Before we read what's printed in the Gemara itself, we'll read a couple words beforehand that's written into the space between the two lines of the Gemara, the beginning of the Pasuk. Pasuk Chof Vav in Dvarim Chof Beis. The Pasuk there says, concerning the topic of Na'ar Amrasa, a girl is, young girl who is married is in danger of being raped. And it says, and if in the event that she is raped, it says, Vilanaro Loisase Dovar. And as far as the girl is concerned, nothing is done to her. There's no punishment meted out to her. V'ein lenaro chet moves, and the girl is not subjected to a capital punishment. She was raped. Ki kasher yokum ish areyu ritzochoy nefesh, kein hadovar hazeh. Just like in the case of murder, so too is this case. That's as far as the pasuk is concerned. The Gemara, the Braisa asks, "V'chi ma lomadnu meirotzeach? what are we learning from the case of the murderer, from the case of murder, in order to exempt the girl in the case that she is raped? The simple reading of the pasuk is mashma that just like in the case of murder there is exemption, so too in the case of the girl being raped. But Rashi points out that this doesn't flow. So let's take a look at the Rashi. V'chi ma lomadnu meirotzeach kan liftor es ha'ines. From what do we learn from the case of murder in order to exempt the case of the rape? Dekomer leikro ein lanaro chet moves ki kasher yokum ish. That's what's printed. That's what is in the Torah. Demashma. It sounds from that ki hechi dehosam oines poter. It sounds like just like in the case of murder, the case of uncontrolled circumstances is exempt. Hochi nami in the case of the nara ptura. Elo mashma sheze bo levamed al hanara. But rather, what appears is that the case of murder was coming here to teach about the case of the girl. Venimtza shenichtav kan levamed hemeno. And it turns out that it's written here to learn from it, from the girl, to the case of murder. Klomar, nimso af lomed. It turns out that the case of murder is also, not only was it coming to teach something, which at this point is unclear, but it's also coming to be learned about. In other words, the case of the rape is coming to teach me about the case of murder. Dimishomili achrina iskush. They are here for some other reason to be compared one to the other. Vitravayo Yalfami Hado, at the end of the day, both are learned one from the other. This will be explained at greater length, the issues or the lessons to be learned from murder to the case of rape and from rape to the case of murder will be featured more extensively on the Ayin Dalet Omed Aleph. Let us continue in the source itself. The source continues. Me'ato, hare ze bo v'lamed. The case of murder appears in the Torah as if it's coming to teach me about the case of rape. V'nimtza lamed. But in addition to that, it turns out that the case of murder is also derived from the case of rape. Makish roitzeach l'na'ar murasa. The Torah wants to compare murder to the case of the na'ar hamurasa. Ma na'ar murasa nitan la'atzila b'nafsho. Just like the case of na'ar murasa, it is possible to save the offender by killing him. This point will be explained in a moment, but we're accepting as a fact that just like in the case of Namurasa, it is possible to kill the offender. Afrotzeach nitan hatzilo benafsho. So too, in the case of a murderer, it is mutter to prevent the murder from taking place by killing the murderer. We've dashed underlined this expression Afrotzeach nitan hatzilo benafsho because that is the topic that we're trying to discover the source for. The Gemara asks, well, v'na'ar murasa gufo min olan, the case of na'ar murasa itself, where do we know that there it is also allowed to kill the pursuer in order to prevent the avera from taking place? Kidetona debei Rabbi Shmuel, as is taught by the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel in the following source, Kidetona debei Rabbi Shmuel. We've written in, once again, the beginning of the pasuk, ki basoder mitzo'o so'akohana ra murasa v'ein moshia la. This is talking about the case of the rape, and the pasuk says that she was found in the fields where no one was around. She screamed, and no one was there to help her, to save her. Ha yesh moshia la, we infer from this that had there been someone to save her, b'chol davar she'yachol moshia, then she could have been saved through any means possible, including killing the pursuer. One notices in our marking system the appearance of a brackets. The length of this section is indicated by the length indicator, a dash dotted line that appears to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. The reason for these brackets is explained by the note, by the star, in the margin, Tam HaSugrayim. The reason for these brackets, Hagemara Shelifnei Ve'achrei HaSugayim, the Gemara itself, before the bracketed section and after the bracketed section, Misasekes Ve'inyan Elu Shenitan Latzilon Benafshoi, deals with the topic we've been discussing, those that one is able to kill in order to save them from committing the offense. B'toch HaSugayim, within the bracketed section, Inyan Acher, is another matter. For who, Hachoivo La'azor L'chaver O'tovei B'nohor, it is the obligation to save one's friend who is drowning, V'chadome, and other similar cases. Dehainu Avedas Gufo, that's a case of saving, of restoring a lost object, but in this case, it's one's own body is being restored. Shehu Inyan Kloli, this is a general type of topic. The topic heading that's found in the other margin of the Gemara, you'll notice, is the Nosei, two Makoros, two sources, Be'inyan Chivas Hishtadlus Latzil Es Chavero, the obligation that one has to save his friend, Avedas Gufo, Kegoin HaTovea Benohar. So let us now see the sources inside. Gufo. This is a quote from that which was seen above. Minayin L'royas Chavero Shu Tovea Benohar, Ochaya Goroso, O Listin Boin Alov. From where do we know that if one sees his friend in dire straits, that either he's drowning or a wild animal is dragging him away or he's being threatened by bandits, Shu Chayav Latzilo, that the onlooker is obligated to save the victim. Talmud Omer Lao Samod Al Dam Re'echa. Don't stand by while your friend is in dire straits. The Gemara asks, V'ho Me'hocha Nafka. This point, is it really learned from this pasuk of Lo Samod? Mehosam Nafko, there's another pasuk that teaches this. Avedas Gufo Minayin, from where do we know that if one's own body is being lost, in other words, in danger, that one is obligated to save him? Talmud Lomar V'hashivo So Lo, that one is obligated to restore him unto himself. Rashi points out that this is a Kro Yisera. This is an extra pasuk, and it's therefore coming to teach me something beyond the simple mitzvah of restoring a lost item to its owner, but one is obligated to restore one's own self to one's owner, so to speak. At this point, then, we have two sources to teach me the same thing. So what do I need the extra source for? The Gemara answers, E mehosam, had I just had source number two, havi amino hani mili benafshe, I would have thought that the obligation is only insofar as what one can do himself. In other words, if I see my friend in dire straits, I am physically expected to act. Avol, mitrach umegar aguri emalo, but to trouble myself and hire other forces to save my friend, I wouldn't know that I'm obligated to do that as well. Komash malon, that's what I have the first source for, to tell me that even if you're in a situation where you can't save him yourself, you're nevertheless not free of obligation, but have to go and spend money, hire other people to save the victim. Tonu Rabbanan. The Gemara now presents a new Tanaic source. In the source, you'll notice we've highlighted the expressions Matzilin and Ein Matzilin with a double underline. The source will deal with things we've mentioned before, those that when you see they are about to commit a particular avera, depending on what the avera is, I either am supposed to save them, prevent them by killing them before they commit the offense, or there are other cases where I'm not allowed to. We've broken up the source. You'll notice in the source Roman numeral 1 verses number 2. The first cases are those that are matzilin osan benafshan, meaning we would kill them before they commit the offense, and the second part of the source are those that I'm not allowed to. Echad horoidef. Let us read this again. Tanu Rabbanan, Echad HaRoidev, Achar Chaveru LaHorgo, V'achar HaZohar, V'achar Naram Rosa, those three cases we've seen already, V'achar Chayvei Misos Bezdin, and even though we mention Naram Rosa, which is a capital offense in the realm of immorality, the source goes on and says there are, and whether it be other cases of immorality that are punishable by court execution, v'achar chayvei krisus. And likewise with regard to acts of arayas that are not punishable by court execution, but are punishable by kores. These are offenses that have in them not only avera, not only the actual act itself, the sin, the sinful act itself, but also the pagam, the disparaging of the individual. All of these cases, matzilin oison benafsho, we are able to stop them from committing the offense by their own lives. In other words, by killing them, by taking away their nefesh. However, almona l'kohen gadol, the almona, a widow, is being pursued by a high priest. His intent is to rape her. This is a forbidden relationship. A widow is not allowed to marry a kohen gadol, and he's seen pursuing her. Or grusha v'chalutza l'kohen hedyot, or a kohen of rank and file nature, standard kohen, is attempting to rape a divorced woman or a woman who performed chalitza. Ein matzilin oison benafsho. These are called chayvei lavin, even though there's avera and there's a certain level of pagam involved. Nevertheless, based on a gzeres akosu, based on the reading of psukim, we learn that they are not to be stopped by killing them. Nevdo bo avera ein matzilin oiso benafsho. If a woman had already been victim of an act of immorality, and she is being pursued now, you might have a situation like a Na'ar HaMurasa that was already victimized. So we'll call it the second round. If that be the case, we would not kill the pursuer. Yesh Moshia Ein Matzilin Oiso Benafsho. If you have a situation where a person can be stopped from committing the above mentioned offenses through other means other than killing him, it's forbidden to kill them. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Af Hoy Meres Hanichu Lo Shelo Yehargeno. And you have, if you have a situation, this is another case where it's not permitted according to Rabbi Yehuda to kill the pursuer, and that's a case where the woman who's about to be victimized says, "Leave him alone, leave the pursuer alone," because of her fear of the pursuer killing her if something happens. The Rashi points out, "Ho'omeres la'matzilin ho'roidfin acharov." She says to the ones trying to save her, trying to prevent the act from taking place, "Hanichu lo v'al tirdufu acharov." Leave him be. Don't pursue him. Don't try to stop him. Because of her fear that she'll be killed before they reach him. Afalpi ganusahi, even though she is in a situation of being raped, umiyurahi the kamra, and out of simple fear she's saying this, not because she agrees with what's really happening. Ein matzilin oisa, we still do not save her, according to Rabbi Yehuda. The time of Mephorish, come on, the Gemara will elaborate on this later. Continuing in the Gemara, Minohani Mili, from where do we know the points that were mentioned in the above source? Omar Kra, the Pasuk says, and this is a Pasuk that we have made reference to already earlier in today's Shiur, it says, Vilana'aro loisase dovor, ein lana'aro chet moves. It's important to note before we go on that the first word on the line just above, vilna'aro, is read as we read it. However, in the Torah, it's written without a hey at the end of the word. And being that the Torah has no vowels, if one were to see just the word written, vav lamed nun ayin resh, namely without the hey at the end, one could have read it vilna'ar. So from this we derive certain points. Na'ar ze zohur. The case of the word as it is written, not as it's read, the word na'ar indicates a man, and this is a reference to homosexual relations. Na'ara, the way it's read, is as such, a reference to the girl. Zu na'ara hamurasa. Chet, Elu chayve krisus. Moves, elu chayve misos bezdin. Notice we've included numbers here. These numbers correspond to the numbers that were in the source above. And with all that in mind, the pasuk said, as we saw earlier, that we are able to learn from the case of Na'am Urasa, that we are able to save the or prevent the pursuer from committing the act by killing them. And just like that case, so to all of these others that are alluded to in the same pasuk. The Gemara asks, why is there a necessity to allude to each one? Kol hani lomali, why do I have to enumerate each one? Answer is as follows, Srifi. It is necessary. Di kosav rachmona na'ar, if I would have had just that word, and telling me that that is the case, that I'm allowed to kill the pursuer, that's the case of the homosexual relations, mishum delav urche, the reason there, it's because it's a very severe offense, it's unusual, it's not normal for a man to have intimacy with another man. And as a result of that, there's a great amount of disparagement, there's bizayon, and boshes godol, and there's great disparagement and embarrassment. Avol na'ra, but the case of a woman who's about to be raped by the man, the married woman, the de'urcha, it's normal for men to have relations with women, to have intimacy with a woman. So even though it, in this case it's legally prohibited, but it's not the same level of bizayon as a man with a man. So I would have thought, amalo, that it's not allowed to, the pursuer is not allowed to be killed. V'i kosav rachmona na'aro, and had the Torah written that case, v'shum deka pogim lo, he is ruining her, he's causing her to be nifgimo, and that, as Rashi points out, through the besulim, through her virginity being removed, and also by her being disparaged in the eyes of her husband after this affair takes place. Avonar delo kopogim le. As far as the homosexual relations are concerned, there's this, the element of pagam does not exist. In other words, the victim is not nifgam. Amolo, I would have thought maybe the preventive act is not allowed to be done. The E Kosav Rachmona Hani had the Torah written these two, Mishum Dehai Lav Urchehu Vahai Kopogim Law. The case of the homosexual relations, we said, is not the normal way, and the Na'ar HaMorasa, we said there's the Pagam element. Aval Sha'ar Arayis, in the other cases of immoral relations, the urchayu velo nafish pigmayu. The intimacy there is an act that is normal, and the level of depreciation is not as great as in the case of Na'am Harasa. Bearing in mind the case of Na'am Harasa, she was a virgin. The other cases of forbidden relations, we're not dealing with a virgin. So I would have thought, since it's a less level of depreciation, so it would not be allowed to prevent the act by killing the pursuer. Therefore, kosov rachmona chait. Therefore, the Torah indicated that it is allowed through writing chait. Be kosov rachmona chait. Had the Torah written just chait, hava amino, I would have thought that comes to include afilu chayve lavin, even those kind of offenses that are prohibited by mere negative status. And namely, no court execution associated with them. Therefore, kosav rachmona moves. Therefore, the Torah wrote that we're talking about cases of immorality that involve death. The ikos of rachmona moves. Have amino chayve misos bezdin in chayve krisus lo. And had the Torah written moves and not the word chait, so I would have thought only those forms of immorality that are punishable by court execution. But chayve krisus, those that are not punishable by court execution, but nevertheless carry with them the severe heavenly penalty of kores, I would have thought that they are not under this category of nitan lahatzilin benapshoi. Kosef rachmona chait, therefore the Torah added the word chait. The Gemara asks, v'liftoiv rachmona chait moves, let the Torah write that one is able to stop a pursuer under circumstances of chet mavis, which are the forms of immorality that are punishable by kores and misas based in velo boi na'ar na'aro, and I would not need these two. These two would already be included, namely the homosexual relations and the case of na'aro hamurasa would already be included under chet mavis. So why does the Torah point out those two specific types of those two specific offenses, namely the homosexual relations and the Nahum Rasa? The Gemara says, in Hochinami, in truth you're right, by writing Chet Mavis, those would have already been included. Velonar Na'aro, so why does the Torah write those? So before we go further in the Gemara, let us take note of some of the the topic heading and structural note that accompanies this section of Gemara. We encounter here a numbering system 1 through 3 that's featured in the outside margin, the Nosei Mivneh. Notice 1 through 3, those are there are three opinions. Bame Boim Nar Na'aro Lema'et. What are these two expressions coming to exclude from this list of those that it's permitted to kill the pursuer? So what events, what type of offenses are not included? So the first opinion is, Chad limute oived avodas kechavim, if one notices someone about to commit idolatry, the Torah would be telling us one is not allowed to stop him by killing him. The chad limute behemo v'shabos. And the second word is coming to exclude someone who is about to commit bestiality. Now, in brackets, we have also the word Shabbos, which would literally mean one who is about to commit a violation of Shabbos. The Torah would be saying one is not allowed to stop them by killing them. The Rashi points out that the example of Shabbos is brought here, but for no real reason. It's just brought along because it was mentioned in the Mishnah. However, the Pasuk is not necessary for being Mimayit Shabbos. In other words, once we exclude Avodas Kechavim from this list, then I would have never thought Shabbos would be any different. In addition, another note that we made here is a dotted underline under the word behemoth. In our in the margin, we have a note explaining why this word was dot underlined. Actually, if you skim ahead in the Gemara, you'll notice the word behemoth appearing a couple more times, each time with this dotted underline. So our note says heora simanu hamila behemoth. We've noted the word behemoth. We're reading the note on the inside margin. We've noted that word with a dot underlined. We'll have lit to emphasize or to bring out shekol echad mishalosh hadeos. Each one of the three opinions that will be following in the Gemara with regard to what is what's the role of Nar and Na'ara, each one of the opinions agrees, maskim, agrees, shemimatin behema, that we are to exclude the example or the offense of bestiality. V'chol hamachlik is hi alma bo hamiyut hasheni. The difference between each one of these opinions only concerns what is the second exclusionary word coming to do. Ulesikum hadeos, in order to summarize the upcoming opinions, hamiut hasheni kidalahalon. The second exclusionary word is as follows. One opinion says avodah zarah, the case of idolatry. The second one says the case of Shabbos. And the third opinion says it's not coming, the second expression is not coming to exclude anything. Eino mimayit. So according to this third opinion, avodah zarah v'shabbos nitan lahatzilon v'nafsho. The third opinion will say that a case of Shabbos violation and idolatry, it is permitted to stop the attempted offender by killing him. Hence, according to the third opinion, the expression nar or na'ara is coming to exclude only the case of bestiality. As we go on in the Gemara, we also notice the appearance of other letters in different forms. This is in order to make it easier to refer back, as the Gemara goes on, to those points mentioned earlier. So we continue in the Gemara with a question. the end of the line, see Ula Reb Shimon ben Yochai, we've dashed underlined his name, also for the ability to refer back later in the Gemara. According to Reb Shimon ben Yochai, the Omar, Oved Avodas Kechovim, Nitan Lahatziloi Benafsho, that one who is about to commit idolatry, it is permitted to kill him. So then, Lomali, what is going to be the role of these exclusionary expressions, Nar, Na'aro? So the Gemara answers, Chad Limute Behema. Notice, this one is excluding Behema, just like we saw in the opinion just before, that he's coming to, that also mentioned that one of the expressions excludes Behema. V'chad Limute Shabbos. And the other one is coming to exclude the case of Shabbos, telling me that one who tries to violate Shabbos, even though Shabbos is a very severe offense, one is not allowed to kill him beforehand. Well, would you have thought otherwise? The answer is yes. Without this word, I might have thought Tesi Shabbos, derive Shabbos, through a word comparison to idolatry. And in the realm of idolatry, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai holds that it is Nitan Lahatzilo Benafsho. So I would have thought to compare Shabbos to idolatry. Hence we have the second expression, the second exclusionary expression, Nar Na'ara, to exclude that case. The case of Shabbos. Question. Ula Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, this is the son of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. His opinion is, the Omar, Mechalel es HaShabbos Nitan Lahatzilo Benafsho, the Asyo Shabbos Mechilu Chilu Me'avodes Kechavim. Notice we've used a 2 over here. This 2 corresponds to the 2 that was mentioned in his father's Shita by Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai himself. This is a point of difference, that according to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, one who's about to violate Shabbos, it is mutter to kill him beforehand. And he derives that through the word comparison, that chilul, that is, the word chilul is found by Shabbos and by idolatry. And by idolatry, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon holds, like his father, that, and that was the that was mentioned before, that according to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, it's mutter to stop someone from doing from practicing idolatry by killing him. So he, the son, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, derives Shabbos from idolatry. Therefore, both cases, it's mutter lahatzilu benafsho. So my ikol meimar, what is the second exclusionary word coming to do? So the Gemara answers, chad miut. Limute behema. One mute is here to exclude the case of bestiality. V'idoch, and the second expression is not coming to exclude. Aidi to kosav rachmona na'ar, kosav nami na'aro, which means once the Torah writes the word nun ayin resh, which comes to include homosexual relations, where meaning it is permitted to kill the one attempting to perform that. In order to stop him, one can kill the male, the pursuing male. The Torah also writes the word na'ar, but to be read as na'ara. In simpler terms, we have a kri and a ksiv over here. The ksiv is the way it's written, and that has its role in order to bring in the case of homosexuality. And we also have the reading of it, which tells me about the case, which is refers to the case of na'av rasa. But we mentioned before, the Torah didn't really have to teach that case specifically. That was included under Chet Moves. But nevertheless, that is the way the word is read when reading the Torah, Na'ara. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a new topic heading, Nosei, Hezber Machlokes HaTanoim, will explain the Tanaic controversy that we saw in the Mishnah, Im Nitan Lahatzilo Benafsho, is it mutter to kill the pursuer in the following case, Be'omeris, where the victim is saying, the woman is saying, Hanichu lo shelo yehergeno, leave him be, so that he shouldn't kill me. Rabbi Yehuda, Omer af ho'imeris, Hanichu lo shelo yehergeno. B'mai komifugi. What's the basis of the controversy between the Tanakama that says that one is nevertheless allowed to kill the pursuer, and according to Rabbi Yehuda that says no? Omar Rava, the case over which they are arguing involves the following details. B'makpedes al pigma, v'umanichoso shelo yehargeno. Where you're dealing with a woman that has self-respect. She is concerned with, she is in truth objecting to her being violated. That's makpedes al pigma. She objects to being violated. However, she is fearful for her life and hence is willing to leave him commit the offense in order to ensure that she continues living. Rabbanan Savri, apigma kapid rachmana, vahare makpedes apigma. According to the Rabbanan, the allowance of killing someone who is pursuing a woman for this type of immorality, the Torah is makpid, is concerned with the woman's self-respect. And once the woman expresses her own self-respect, the Torah is saying, we want to defend you, namely you, the woman who has this self-respect, has this kavod to her. And once she demonstrates that she is makpedes on herself, the halacha kicks in to protect her. For Rabbi Yehuda responds, Hai dekoma rachmona kaplei, that which the Torah says, one is allowed to kill the pursuer. This is only because mishum demosra nafshal akadlo, because it is assumed that the woman is willing to endanger her life in order to preserve her own dignity. However, this woman who's saying leave him be, ha lo mosra nafshal akadlo, she is not a woman who is demonstrating her willingness to sacrifice herself. And as a result of that, according to Rabbi Yehuda, she does not deserve the protection that the Torah would otherwise afford her. It's safe to say, though, if you have a woman that herself has indicated her lack of concern for her own dignity, we'll see a reference to this later in the Gemara. In such a case, even the Rabbanan would agree that it's not mutter lahatziloi benafshoi. Amar le Rav Popol Abaye, according to the Rabbanon that said that the issue is an issue of pagam, of depreciation or disparagement, almona l'kohen gadol, a kohen gadol who is pursuing an almona to rape her, nami ka pogim la, there is an issue of depreciation, which means the almona, even though she's not muteris to a kohen gadol in general, she is muteris to a kohen hetyot. After she's raped by a kohen gadol, that renders her unfit to all of the kahuna. Being taken into consideration would show us that she should be protected by the halacha according to the Rabbanan. As we mentioned just before, the Rabbanan's shita was that a woman whose dignity is being jeopardized, and when we say dignity, we're referring to this element of depreciation, where her value, so to speak, is reduced. The Rabbanan say one is allowed to matzil oiso benafshoi. So why is the case of Amona l'Kohen Gadol not included? Omar le, so Abaye answers Rav Papa, a pigmo rabo kopid rachmono, a pigmo zuto lo kopid rachmono. When it comes to great depreciation, the Torah is concerned. When it comes to a lesser form of depreciation, the Torah is not as concerned to allow hatzola benafsho, to allow the execution of the pursuer. Let's take a look at Rashi a few lines up from here. In the question, Rashi explains, Ha kapogim la, is there not an issue of pagam? The itaima dekro mishum pagimo hi, amai imitu chayve lavin. If the issue is this depreciation, so then why is it, in the case of chayve lavin, those types of immoral relations that are prohibited by the negative level of mitzvah alone, chayve lavin as opposed to chayve krisus, why are those not included? the question is being focused according to the opinion of the Rabbanon, the Amri Taimu Mishum Pegama Hu, who said that the Torah's allowance is because of Pegam. Rashi continues, Apigma Rabba, Kigon Arayas Decresus, Shehen Chamuros. The Pigma Rabba, the high level of depreciation, is a reference to those kinds of immoral relations that are punishable by kores. They are severe. Vahavya cherposa meruba. There's a great deal of disparagement involved there. Shehavlad mamzer, a child born from those kinds of arayas, from arayas decresus, the child is called a mamzer, and as a result of that, that child cannot marry into the rest of Klal Yisrael. Venasis zoina bevilaso, and she's also categorized as a zona, a Torah categorization. Avol kohen gadol ba'amona, eino nas zoina elo halola. Through the kohen gadol having relations with the amona, she's not categorized as a zona, which is we'll call it a more severe form of disparagement, but she's categorized merely as a halola. Continuing in the Gemara, Chet Elu Chayvei Krisus. We saw this mentioned before. If one wants to find where it was originally mentioned, one just navigates by finding the corresponding star, just like you see one over here to the right of the Gemara, but there's an indication to look on Omid Aleph. On Omid Aleph, you'll find the corresponding star in the lower part of the page. Chet, that was used by Torah, in the Torah Pasuk, is a reference to Chayve Krisis, and we said it's mutter to prevent the act from taking place by killing the pursuer. Viramin, who we raise a contradiction. The issue is as follows. We have a Mishnah, Maseches Ksubos, that says concerning different types of rape. In general, when rape takes place, the Torah says a knas payment is made. When a na'ara is raped, a na'ara being a girl between 12 and 12 and a half, in the event that she is raped, a knas payment is levied. There is another principle that most Tanaic opinions subscribe to that says that when one is confronted by a penalty like court execution or possibly kores, the person is not penalized with a financial obligation as well, with the need to pay money. The Mishnah in Ksubis gives a list of naros that for which there is a knas payment made. Let us now be a little more specific. We mentioned a moment ago that if there is a relationship or an offense that's punishable by execution, we don't levy, in addition to that, the need to pay. If one says that a chayve krisus is able to be prevented by killing him before he commits it, so even though kores itself would not necessarily exempt from payment, but the fact that he can be executed by onlookers, that shows us that he is subject to a form of capital punishment. If that be the case, such a relationship should not be punishable through monetary means as well. And yet, if you see a chayve krisus taking place and a financial payment is expected to be made as compensation for that offense, that would indicate to us that the offender is not punishable by death. So, once again, we said that Chet means chayve krisus, which indicates nitan lahatzilo benafsho, they can be killed by the onlooker. We raise a contradiction, veraminu. The Mishnah says in Ksubos ve'elu naros sheyesh lahem knas habo al achoso, a man that has relations with his sister is punishable by paying a fine, a knas payment. If you see knas being paid by this form of immorality, brother and sister. Brother and sister, we know, is a case of chayve krisus, but the fact that the Mishnah is saying that a money payment is made, that would indicate to us that chayvei krisus are not punishable by nitan lahatzilo and benafsho, that they're not subject to being killed by an onlooker. Because if they were, there would be no money payment made as well. This is a problem. In order to answer, to resolve this contradiction, the Gemara provides several approaches. You'll notice in the Gemara we have triangles. They extend till the top of Ayin Dalid Omid Aleph. We have a Nosei Mivneh heading to the side of the Gemara. Notice the triangle is featured. Five Tshuvos Liashiv Stira Be'inyan. We will see five answers to resolve the contradiction in the topic of HaMischayev Benafsho Eino Mischayev Gam B'Tashlumen. We know that one whose life is in jeopardy by the jeopardy means that is subjected to being executed, legally executed, whether it be by the court or by the halacha that we're dealing with of nitan lahatzila benafsho. We know that those kind of people are not expected to pay as well. And yet we see the Mishnah Ksuba says that there is payment. The fact that it says there is payment would indicate to us that they are not nitan lahatzila benafsho. Amru rabbanon kamei de Rav Chisda. This was presented to Rav Chisda to resolve this contradiction. The resolution is as follows. If the two punishments are not simultaneous, then we can levy both of them. And this is explained as follows. Mishas ha'ro de pogmo, iftar lo mikatlo. Ha'ro being the initial stage of insertion in this act of immorality. At the first stage, the pagam is experienced. The pagam is the point at which, prior to which, one is able to execute the offender. But once pagam is achieved, the offender can no longer be executed. Mamoino lo mishalem ad gemar bia. The need to pay the knas, that takes place only at a later stage, known as Gemar Bia. Hence, since the two are not simultaneous, we can talk about both being imposed, namely the financial payment and the chance of his being killed by the onlooker. The Gemara says that this resolution works out only according to one of two opinions. Ha Nicha, it is possible to use this answer, namely to separate the two points in time. Leman de Omar Helro Zu Neshika, the one who claims that the early stage of the intimacy, known as Helro, is merely the physical contact of the male with the female. Neshika is a euphemism because it's referring to the organs of intimacy. But so we will refer to that as initial body contact at the point of the organs. Then we can say that is the point at which pagam is achieved, and yet there is no financial payment yet because the besulim is still intact. The mark of virginity is still intact. And only when the besulim are broken, then is the time of the financial payment, the knas. However, there's another opinion regarding this. And according to this other opinion, the two happen simultaneously. According to the opinion that says the ha'ara stage of intimacy is not the initial physical contact, but it's an act we'll refer to as partial insertion. That's the point at which the pagam is achieved, the depreciation, and it is also the point in time at which the besulim are broken. If that be the case, so the financial payment and the pagam time are happening simultaneously. My ikolamemar. So how can you possibly explain or resolve the two sources? The one source saying that it's nitan latzul benafsho, and the other source that says that there is financial payment. Because we know that if the two are happening simultaneously, then the lesser, namely the financial need, is rescinded. Ela Omar Rav Chisda. Here we have a second approach. Kegoin shebo oleho shelo kedarko, v'chazar ubo oleho kedarko. If you have a woman that was involved with an act of immorality in the shelo kedarko fashion. If that took place, we would say that she was already depreciated. And the second act of relations was in the normal fashion, and that is the point at which the besulim are broken. So we're dealing with a case where the financial payment can be made because we're dealing with a situation where, while that is happening, she's already been depreciated through the pagam in the as a result of the initial contact in the shelo kedarko fashion. And since the two are not happening simultaneously, we can see room for the payment being made. Rava Omar, a third approach. How can we explain the Mishnah in Ksubis, which says that payment is made? The answer is because we're dealing with with a woman who is screaming, "Leave him alone," like we saw in Rebbe Huda, and we're going to feature this as the answer, that the Mishnah in Ksubis is a reflection of Rebbe Huda. And as a result of her screaming, "Leave him alone," we know that he, the pursuer, is not subject to being killed. Being that that's the case, there is room to levy the financial payment. Rav Omar, b'mani choso shelo yahargenov rebutahi. The case where she's saying, "Leave him alone," so that she doesn't get killed, and according to Rebbe Yehuda. That will be the explanation of the Mishnah in Ksubas. At the top of Ayin Dalid, Amud Aleph, Rav Papa Omar, b'mefuta v'divrei hakoil. The Mishnah in Ksubas is talking about a woman who is agreeing to the act. She's seduced. As a result of the seduction, she's agreeing to the act. And as a result of her agreeing to the act, she's not risking her life. And therefore, this works out according to the Rabbonin as well, and meaning that the allowance to kill the pursuer, that's only a case where a woman is risking her life, but where she's agreeing to the act as a result of being seduced, she's not risking her life, and therefore payment can be made. Abaye Omar, Abaye says that the case of the payment of the Mishnah Ksubas is in fact not a case of seduction, but it's a case of oines. However, the reason payment is made is because it's a case where the pursuer could have been stopped through other means other than killing him completely, namely by knocking out one of his limbs. That would have stopped him, and that being that that could have been done, and as a result of being able to stop him through Echod Me'evorov, he is not subject to being killed. As a result of that, there is room for a financial payment to be made. Let's read that now. Abaye Omar, B'yochol lahatzil be'echod me'evorov. Notice how we've used a phrase marking around those words, the singular quotation marks. Once again, B'yochol lahatzil be'echod me'evorov. And as a result of that, since he could be stopped by knocking out one of his limbs, he is not subject to being killed. For Rabbi Yonason ben Sholhi, and this conforms to Rabbi Yonason's opinion, Tesanya, Rabbi Yonason ben Shol Omer, Rodev Shoya Rodev Acher Chaveru Lahargo, if one is pursuing a victim to kill him, V'yochol Hatzilo Be'echad Me'vara V'lo Hitzil, and he could have been stopped by knocking out one of the limbs, and he didn't do that. And he rather killed him when he could have stopped him by knocking out one of the limbs. That's considered murder, and therefore neherag alov. The one who murders him is himself subject to a death penalty. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.